You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast. Guys, this is what Straight Out of Vegas was built for. What did we call it? The pregame show America always wanted. We are going to take you right into Sweet 16 action, picks, previews, Vegas style, action-packed hour this Thursday. In studio, we got the pros, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, Steve Fezzik. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. I tell you, we're going to do pretty much the whole second third of the show. Preview pick on the four games. But first, we'll touch on a little bit of baseball, a little bit of NFL. And as you always know, you can't have pros without Joes. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on Straight Out of Vegas, especially when the real opening day gets the Major League Baseball season started. They had an opener, a two-game series last week in Tokyo between the Mariners and the A's. But today, everybody else is in action all around Major League Baseball. And so what is the Vegas perspective on what we see on opening day in MLB?
Here's my question, though. Why is it that every sport wants to fake something? Baseball wants to have a fake opening day. The NCAA tournament wants to have a fake first round. I mean, who in the heck wouldn't call the 64 teams the first round? I mean, it's almost like if let's repeat the lie enough and we're all going to believe it. This is opening day. If you don't like it, talk to my lawyer. All right, Fez, we got a lot of things we're going to do here. Let's start with the Yankees and the Red Sox. If you look at baseball season win totals, that tells you, I think, the best, who the Vegas market thinks are the better teams. The very best team, the Yankees, Astros are right there with them, and right below it, the Red Sox. Yankees, Red Sox, one of those teams will be at minimum a wild card team, or I guess at best a wild card team. So you could literally win 100 games and be a wild card team. How do you see that battle shaping up?
I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think both teams are going to invest heavily if it's close, RJ, make acquisitions as needed in July and August, an arms race to see who can get to 100 wins and win this division.
Okay, so that's an interesting concept. The theory is being a division winner is so much better than being a wild card participant that even if they have to overspend a little bit, hey, it's worth it because there's so much competition.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, you and I are doing a little fun thing. You pick 20 over-unders out of the 30 in baseball, and I got to pick three that I was willing to fade you on. So the first one is actually the Yankees. So what we can do here is you can tell us as the music tells you to, the dramatic music, if you like. And by the way, it's over under 96. Now, listen, this is a season-long bet, so I think we do, what, 300 a crack?
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll do 300 a crack on this one, green button style. So first, on the Yankees, you like. Now, remember here, the music first. You following when I say music, that there hasn't been any music yet? The total is 96.5.
I am going over the 96.5 for the Yankees.
Okay, then I'm going under 96.5. What's your rationale? Because to me, this feels like Huey Lewis hip to be square, where you've got the most popular team. If you sit at me, I always call it the McCarran Airport test. Go down to McCarran, hang out, and which jerseys do you see? You're going to see Dodgers, you're going to see Yankees. And I also believe in general teams tend, or bettors tend to overbet good teams over. Yankees are the best team. So let's just get this straight. Steve Fezzik is taking the very best team in baseball and the most popular team in baseball to overperform.
And it is, yes, and it is hip to be square. And here's why, RJ, because all these advanced analytics guys go ahead and crunch the Yankees pitchers. They crunch the Yankees lineup, and they conclude this team should win about 95, 96 games. So they set the over-under at 96.5. Looks a little bit high because they know the public's going to bet over. But in my opinion, what they miss is the likely upgrade of the Yankees with acquisitions mid-year when they're in a dogfight with Boston to win the division.
Okay, so that's the premise. And it's a, that's the thing. Is usually if you bet, you believe there's an assumption. You believe an assumption different than the market does.
Yes.
I like, who you like on that one? Everybody?
RJ all the way.
I like it.
You want to push the button there, Brad?
Yeah, I will.
All right. So it's a double bet. 300. Look at Brad, smart enough to ride at my coattails. This guy's getting smart. Okay, let's just keep the bets going here. The next team that I disagreed with you on, Milwaukee. Milwaukee, the over-under is 86.5.
I am going under the 86.5 wins for the Milwaukee Brewers.
So make your case.
Case is that Milwaukee won 96 games last year, and there's an author of baseball. He wrote the book Trading Bases, Joe Pita, and he talks about the concept of cluster luck, that some teams just win a whole bunch of games because everything falls right. More of their blue pits fall in, even though it's a 162-game season, and their opponents hit a lot of line drives that get caught. The advanced analytics for like the Milwaukee starting pitching is just not very good. All of their pitchers basically overperformed versus the runs they should have given up. Milwaukee was an extremely lucky team last year. And now look at that division, RJ. That's the division that we've seen the huge upgrade from the Cincinnati Reds, who were terrible last year, made four key acquisitions. The St. Louis Cardinals are better. That's a really tough division this year, much harder strength of schedule.
And good point is you're playing a big percentage of your games in division. So that relative, for example, the Yankees having to play a bunch against the Red Sox.
They also get to play Baltimore.
You didn't really mention that in your analysis, though, on the Yankees. But that's fair enough. Now, by the way, producer of Vegas Production, has Baltimore played yet? Has Milwaukee played yet?
Yes.
What was the score?
Milwaukee won 5-4 against St. Louis.
Okay, so you're saying I've already got a win in the bank.
You do.
Hmm.
Another lucky win by the Brewers.
I'm the 30th player in the game.
I mean, if you start out 1-0, now are you willing to let Brad jump in on that one?
Oh, of course.
Brad, no bet.
Oh!
And you know, the beauty of these bets, RJ, for the hardcore purists, you've got action every day on these teams.
That is fun about the season long. Last one now, 2 out of 3. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, Fezzik and I doing some season-long bets, and it's the San Francisco Giants over under 73.5.
Under the 73.5 for the Giants.
I'm going over. What's your rationale?
Rationale is pitching. I think they're really in trouble without Johnny Cueto, who went down last year. Tommy John surgery, likely not back for the entire year. After Mad Bum in the one slot, I think this team's really hurting for pitching.
Brad, you had an interesting point about the Giants coach and some milestones last season kind of stuff.
Yeah, Bruce Bochy, it's going to be his final season. He just so happens to be 74 wins away from 2,000 wins in his career. Only 10 managers in history have ever reached 2,000 wins.
So you're saying if somehow, some way, there's not much at stake because it's not going to be the playoffs,
yep,
getting to that 74th victory, which would mean a cash for me,
yep,
is something the team would be extra motivated on.
I think it might matter come the last week of the season.
Fez, did you know about this?
I was unaware.
Kids stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
All right, you want to double? Whoa, hold on. Let's see if Fez lets you. Double up. All right. So, Brad, Brad's just sitting there cherry picking the best bats.
Just an hour ago, Brad's like, I know very little about MLB, now he's firing.
He's hearing your crappy analysis, and he's figuring, that is a good point. Because you think, well, what's the motivation late?
Yeah.
If they have explicit motivation to get to that 74, the Giants.
My analysis is not crappy. Mark it down. I'm going 3-0 on these, RJ.
All right. RJ Bo straight out of Vegas. Last thing on baseball. So Machado, this Padres team, 78.5 wins entering the season. So even with Machado expected to be below 500, the Phillies, with their big signing, expected to have the sixth best record in baseball. In Fez, 30-second style, you had your very best bet on totals on the Cubs under.
Yeah, so Cubs under 87.5 wins. The Cubs did not get any better. No key acquisitions, and several other players like Lester are getting older, and that division got so much tougher. The Cardinals got better. The Reds got better. Tough strength of schedule in division.
One of the big stories yesterday on Straight Out of Vegas was the pass interference rule in the NFL, as now you can review pass interference and you can even review non-called pass interference penalties in the NFL this upcoming season. They're doing it on a one-year trial run to see if it's a permanent move. So, RJ, now that we've had a little bit more time to think about it and sleep on it, what do you make of the pass interference change in the NFL?
Jonas is really saying, you know, your take was pretty lackluster yesterday. You got anything better, which is actually true. I felt like I didn't have it thought all the way through. I'm going to keep this one simple. I heard a lot of people complaining about this. Colin, Jonas's nemesis, was talking about, oh, it was an emotional reaction. It was too quick. Others were saying, when's it end? And I kept thinking, well, wait a minute. If we accept the fact that we don't want every play reviewed, and we accept the fact that there's going to be a line drawn somewhere where to this side review yes, to the other side review no, what is going to be the key determining factors of where you draw the line? And it strikes me there's going to be two factors. One is how impactful the play is. So, for example, what was the first review they had with scoring plays? The theory is, if it's a touchdown or not is about as big of a play as you can get, let's review those. And I think the second factor is, how often are there missed calls? Because if you're getting something right 99.9% of the time, even if it's high impact, I probably don't need to review it. So to me, amongst all the plays or types of reviews there could be, and if the two factors were impact and obviously 30, 40, 50-yard pass interference plays, there's no other 50-yard plays. You know, there's no 50-yard penalties except pass interference. So it's about as high impact as a penalty can be. And I think we would all agree that part of what we hated about all the PIs this year was it felt so subjective. A lot of the time it was like, it was so close. Could you throw a flag or could it be holding? And wow, doesn't it seem like that if you had to say what's next, meaning if we accept the equation, impact plus percentage call is missed is the way to figure out what else should be reviewable? Is there even another type call that's even in the conversation with pass interference? So in general, I don't love a bunch of new reviews, but it seems like if you're going to add anything, adding a high-impact play that is often misjudged on the field is the perfect type of play to add. Thoughts?
I think if this year doesn't work, if people complain enough about it being this year, because it's penalized so strongly, and there's no other penalty that's enforced with that much yardage as the pass interference penalty, I think they're going to go to the college rule of 15 yards.
Which, if you did that, then having the review of the pass interference becomes less important.
Yes.
Because it's not as impactful. So to me, you either get it right or you lower the importance of the call. The situation now where they're not getting it right, but it's so freaking important, I think that's problematic. And at least they've made a step in the direction to fix it. when we come back, there is a perfect bracket out there right now. 48 out of 48. We are the only show in the country that can tell you two things. One, the odds of him going 48 for 48, and the odds he finishes the deal and reaches perfection.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we will talk about the perfect bracket of the NCAA tournament.
Yes, historic. Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 74 degrees. The neon is pumping. Now listen, sometimes facts say enough. Adjectives aren't necessary. I've always found the people, you know, you look at a Warren Buffett, you ask him, are you wealthy, Mr. Buffett? He'll say, yes. Doesn't have to use a bunch of superlatives. So pregame.com, the pros, we did a bracket. We made it available. We put it against millions in the ESPN contest. Mackie, what's the facts say about our bracket so far?
99th percentile, RJ.
Okay, so we could use a bunch of words like...
And once again, the forces of niceness and goodness have triumphed over the forces of evil and rottenness.
But we don't need to do that. We can just say 99%. But unfortunately for us... That isn't as good as one fellow.
Yeah, that's right, because the Sweet 16, which tips off in less than an hour from now, has a perfect bracket going. RJ, how much longer in the NCAA tournament will this perfect bracket continue to have success?
Well, listen, here's the way we looked at it. How hard was it to get here? How hard is it to get home? To get here, what did we do? We looked at each game individually. Vegas has odds on every tournament game. This fellow went 48 out of 48. Each game had its own odds. We got a spreadsheet, did the math, calculated it all up, and what we came up with was the odds were about 151 million to one that he went 48 out of 48. So in theory, if everyone in the country did a bracket randomly, you know, there'd be two of them perhaps. But since there's, you know, this was at, I think, NCAA.org or whatever. There's CBS, there's ESPN, you know, but there's millions and millions of brackets, but there's not 50 million. So it kind of makes sense in a way that this is something we've never seen. We've never seen documented in a computer bracket a fellow go 48 for 48. He's gone the furthest as with perfection. Now, how did we figure out the odds to finish the job, to get it home, hold that line? Well, it was easy on the next eight games. We got odds out already. We took the no vig money line, added it up. Then we went to the guy with all the college knowledge. He wasn't home, so we called Brad. Oh, wait, no. Brad has all the college knowledge. And what we did was say, hey, Brad, give us some no-vig lines on these other matchups because this fellow's got, for example, playing in the semi or in the final eight, Duke winning, Zags winning, Virginia winning, Kentucky winning, and then he's got the Zags playing against Kentucky in the final. Then he's got the Zags winning it. So we could put odds on every specific matchup this fellow was going to have. This is a surprise. Think about what you think it is to get it home. This will be this guy will be famous. He's already half famous. Odds are 1 in 2,267. So less than 2,500 to 1, this guy finishes 15 out of 15 and ends up being 63 out of 63. So 151 million to get here to 1, slightly over 2,001 to take it home. Obviously an underdog, But man, not that big of an underdog. Mighty impressive.
Guys, tipping off in a little over an hour from now. It's the Sweet 16, and it's the South Region Bracket in Louisville, Kentucky, where number 2 Tennessee and number 3 Purdue tip off in that region. And right now, Tennessee is a 1.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
And one thing we avoid, we know Straight Out of Vegas is on 200 stations. We know that by research, about half of you bet on sports, half of you don't. We avoid being what they call in Vegas a rundown show. Now, what is that? It's a guy stumbles in, gets the schedule out of his bag, and he goes, all right, let's start out. Townsend State versus Indiana State. Thoughts, everybody. We don't do that. But when it's this big of a game, we like to pull back the curtain. Brad, let's start the handicap.
Well, my first gut instinct in this game when this matchup was made official was I want to fade both teams because I don't trust either head coach. Purdue's Matt Painter, never been to the Elite Eight. 0-4 straight up and against the spread in this round. On the other side, Rick Barnes, he's the Tennessee head coach. Last 11 NCAA tournament games. One cover. One time exceeded expectations. That was my initial reaction to this one.
Doesn't that even out? Doesn't it say coach, both coaches down arrow? So it evens out.
Evens out. So then getting into the matchups of this game, I was thinking, you know, Purdue's got a big offensive rebounding advantage. All right, check mark for Purdue there. But now looking at just line value, I went back to the start of the tournament. What would the line have been at the start of this tournament?
So you're saying 2 games ago.
2 games ago. I would add Tennessee as a 3.5-point favorite. What's happened to downgrade Tennessee that a couple of points and upgrade Purdue, even despite the fact both teams won 2 games to get here? And I think that's where the overreaction is. I think there's been some overreaction to how Tennessee performed in the second half of 2 games. They were blowing a team out, and that's why I'm leaning with Tennessee here.
So what you're saying is Tennessee had nice, solid leads, and they let teams catch up to him?
Yeah, first round, Tennessee's up 15 over Colgate. Game gets close in the second half. Second game, Tennessee's up 25 against Iowa, and somehow that game goes to overtime. I think there's been an overreaction to Tennessee struggles late in games.
Okay, so is this a lean or a like?
Just a lean for me on Tennessee.
And what's the current number?
Tennessee minus 1.5.
Okay, so Fez, we got you on a talk. Your hand's moving. We got it. Relax. Let's see how great this is. Hold on. Let's stop everything. Fez, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to talk about Purdue.
Okay, but it's got to be awesome, so hit us with it.
All right, Purdue is overvalued because of a recency bias. Purdue's been playing lousy ball all March, RJ, and what happened? They just blew out Villanova. Well, Villanova plays in the Big East. The Big East was terrible in not just the Big Dance tournament, all the tournaments. All the Big East teams were overvalued, so it's not so surprising that Purdue blow them out. What is surprising, Purdue's best player, Carson Edwards, has had a sore back. He has been playing lousy all March, and yet somehow he dialed up a 42-point game. So the big question is, can we expect that Carson Edwards is going to keep playing at that elite level, or are all the games he played in March before this game more significant?
I mean, I can see why he had to jump in with that. Now let's play Big Bank, take Little Bank. I mean, that was so strong. Do you hear the sarcasm, Jones? So let's try to... I was having trouble following almost anything you said. So I kind of heard you say Purdue didn't play well in February.
In March.
In March. So when did they start playing well?
When they played Villanova. It's been 1 game.
Okay, so you're saying they made the tournament... What was the seed?
They're number 3 seed.
All right, so they weren't playing well pretty much
They played well in January and February. Then their best player, Carson Edwards, had a back problem, and he started playing lousy, so did Purdue throughout March.
Okay, so it seems like we can say we got months and months of history. Purdue was pretty good. Then due to what you thought was the injury to their key player, they started playing poorly. Now, when they started playing better... Against Villanova, what was the cause?
Well, Carson Edwards, who couldn't shoot a lick and has shot less than 33% 4 straight games, shot 12 of 21, scored 42 points, and made lots of three-pointers.
So this was the guy who was injured?
Yes.
So it seems like if you're telling me this is a mighty good Purdue team, when this fellow's shooting well and playing well, and he wasn't playing well because of an injury, and now he plays well on the biggest stage... Isn't that a pretty good sign the injury's passed?
He's got a back injury that's been recurring. I refuse to believe that he's suddenly healthy.
When you say it's been recurring, what do you mean? From when to when?
Throughout March, they were interviewing.
So that's not recurring. That is you get an injury, and at some point it gets better.
Yes, but it's not. I don't believe it can be better because all March long,
Dr. Fezzik doesn't believe it could be better. Why?
Because he was struggling all month, and they kept interviewing
him. But isn't that the nature of injuries? One minute you're running a 6-second 40, then a 5-5, then a 5 because your ankle's feeling better, and finally at a certain point you're 100%.
Well, that is the big question. Could he suddenly recover from this that's been crippling him all March and be back to where he was? That's the question.
What do you think about this, Brian?
I think you should have focused.
What do you think of Dr. Fezzik's comments?
I think you're missing your strongest take is Purdue as a team is overrated for a blowout win over Villanova. Who played in the Big East? Everyone blew out. Purdue blew out Villanova. Every team in the tournament blew out a Big East team. Wofford blew out Seton Hall, a Big East team. Murray State blew out Marquette, a Big East team.
Here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a lot of half-baked ideas, but they all do point against Purdue. So let's recount them. Half-baked idea one is, let's start with Dr. Fezzik over here, this best player is key because when he's not, what's the fellow's name?
Carson Edwards.
When Carson Edwards is not playing well, Purdue's not any good. Carson Edwards didn't play well for an extended period. Then he played well. Could it be a fluke or is he physically back? If he's physically back, your analysis is just plain wrong. If it was fluky, there's an advantage.
Correct.
Number two, Purdue had an impressive win against the defending champion that was from a conference that's been really, really, really poor, and thus probably Villanova was overrated.
Yes.
And thus seeing them beat Purdue, the defending champion, probably caused an overreaction. And then lastly, Brad, your main thought on your side was the idea that Tennessee, because they... let a few leads slip away. If they had just kept those leads, they would be more highly regarded.
Yep, they wouldn't have been downgraded so much in the market.
So you add it all up, even if you guys are only right in two out of the three, it feels like Tennessee's the right side.
Yep.
But no one's going with a like. It's just leans.
Yes. Just say lean.
Dr. Fezzik, you sure you don't want to go with the like?
Well, it's an uncertainty about Carson Edwards. He could be 100%.
The doctor seemed pretty certain for a while. When we come back, we're going to finish the three Thursday games with the doctor.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
And my mic. This is what happens, guys, when the Dodgers are playing opening day and they've hit 7 home runs. John Ramos, our technical producer, is a little distracted. 11-2 Dodgers. Make it 12-2 Dodgers on top of the Diamondbacks. Is that 8 home runs now? Kike Hernandez is home, hit another home run. 8 home runs for the Dodgers today against the Diamondbacks. I may go a little long so John can get his nap in here for a sec. Yankees beat the Orioles 7-2. Luke Voit hit a 3-run home run. Mets blanked the Nats 2-0. Brewers down the Cards 5-4. The Phillies didn't get a hit from Bryce Harper. They didn't need one. They routed the Braves today 10-4. Reese Hoskins a grand slam. Andrew McCutchen, a solo home run. Manny Machado went hitless in his Padres debut, but they beat the Giants today by a score of 2-0. It's a final. Detroit beats the Blue Jays in extras. 2-0. Final in 10. And the Reds have a 5-3 lead on the Pirates in the 8th. Astros trying to close out the Rays in the 9th, 5-1. Sweet 16 action does get underway at a little more than a half hour in Anaheim. Gonzaga against Florida State in the West region, followed by Michigan and Texas Tech. Then in the South region, Tennessee and Purdue tip at 7:20 Eastern time, followed by that Virginia-Oregon matchup. Patriots defensive coordinator Greg Schiano stepped down today, saying that he wants to spend more time with his family and on his faith. The Raiders have signed running back Isaiah Crowell to a one-year deal. Also, linebacker Brandon Marshall gets a one-year deal. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up here in just a moment, we will continue our preview of the three more Sweet 16 games coming up later on in the NCAA tournament. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of You, the Fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And we're doing deep dives into these three games. We have a strong opinion on Tennessee in the first one. We're joined by Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, and Steve Fezzik, MD.
Next up, we have got Oregon and Virginia in the South bracket. This game tips off about 9:57 Eastern time tonight, and Virginia is an 8.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
Okay, Brad, let's start with the power ratings. The easiest way to like a game is just one of them is misvalued. What's your power rating say about this game?
Virginia, 10.5-point favorite, RJ.
Okay, so there better be some reasons not to bet Virginia.
Yep.
What are they?
Number one, let's talk about that 10.5-point difference. Keep in mind, a basic power rating is, you know, with a regular size total in college basketball. So average.
So regular size total means expected points scored.
Expected points scored by both teams. That's 146 in college basketball this season. This total, RJ, is only 119. So there's going to be about 20% less scoring.
Oh, now that's good stuff. Now, Fez, would we just take 20% off the spread?
Yes, we would.
All right. So that's interesting. Let me do the math real quick in my head. You're saying it should be what?
10.5.
All right, and 20% off of that is putting you in the 8.5 range, right?
All right, so it puts us right there at 8.5.
Okay, so guys, I don't think anything that advanced has ever been done seriously on national radio. Hey, power ratings say 10.5, except we only expect 80% of the scoring of a typical game. We take away 20%. That means we're now at the number. The number's correct. So is there situational edges, trends, matchups, et cetera?
I like Oregon here, and let's continue to talk the power rating here. So in a power rating, it's usually a blend of an entire season stats for that team. Okay, Oregon is your worst team left in the tournament. They're only 25-12. So it says, hey, Oregon, pretty much like that 12 seed. There's been a fundamental change with Oregon the last 10 games. This team switched their starting lineup. They have four guys that are all 6'9", all elite defenders. What has Oregon done in those 10 games? 10 straight wins, 10 straight covers, have exceeded expectations being the Vegas line, by 15 points per game. Those full season power ratings, I don't think, have fully grasped just how good this Oregon team is right now, RJ.
But hold on a minute, Brad Powers, and this is straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. If you're telling me you don't have some formula that you have a contractual obligation to generate your power rating, do you?
No.
So why wouldn't you have Oregon higher? And thus, why wouldn't the line say in your power rating math 8, then we subtract 20% from that and see the value on Oregon? You're telling me my power ratings, which I am Brad Powers and I'm God of, I'm the deity of my power ratings, are wrong.
Well, I'm saying
you just told me your power ratings are wrong. Can they be wrong when they're yours?
That's true. But, I mean, that is one of my weaknesses. You have taught me you have to use a full season stat. I just can't take.
I think you have to be. Here's the thing. I think you have to be extra triple careful, almost like getting married, right? It's one thing to go on a date. It's one thing to shack up if you're going to get married. And then there's another level, get married without a prenup. That's the highest level of risk, all right? Forget about that. But even to get married with the prenup, you better be mighty sure. I think it's so dangerous to look at late season streaks and say that's the truth of the team. But if you truly believe it, you've got to put it in your numbers.
And I thought I have, but I guess.
But if you did, then it means that even with Oregon being, how can you like Oregon if it's your numbers are saying the line's right?
Well, matchup-wise is
There's something new coming out. Go ahead.
Matchup-wise, Oregon's the perfect test for our Virginia team that to me looks like they're kind of playing a little bit tight with all these expectations. And what do not want to see if I'm Virginia? An elite defensive team that can get up in their faces with all these shooters for Virginia struggling the last 3-4 games.
Okay, and let's be honest. It used to be the old adage, outside shooting teams can't win the NCAA tournament because the nerves get to you, the sight lines in the big arenas. Now, the Golden State era has changed that, but maybe there's still something to that, especially with a team like Virginia that would start feeling it late in this game. Fez, what's your thoughts? Because I'm going to propose, and Brad, look it up for me. I propose the money line on this because I'll tell you this. If it's tied with 40 seconds left, I certainly want Oregon because Virginia is going to be tight. Fez.
Yeah, I actually lean to Virginia here, RJ. And it's all about the situational spot. Now, I know both teams are going to bring it. They're at max motivation. But my concern for Oregon is they are a number 12 seed. So what was their goal coming into the tournament? Let's try to get to the Sweet 16. We're playing against Wisconsin. We're an underdog round one. there's going to be a celebratory situation. When they made that Sweet 16 and they went back home, and that is a concern for me that when you get one of these lesser seeds that makes the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but see, that's the question is, did Oregon consider themselves a 12, or did they consider themselves the team that finished the year 10-0 or whatever?
I fundamentally disagree with that, Fez. This was a team that was preseason borderline top 10 coming in the season, so at least coming in the season.
Now they feel like the truth is finally coming
out. Exactly.
Now, I would say this, and this goes back finally in this game to the power or the bracket picking rules that I have. There's been 26 seeds worse than a number 11, so 12 seed or worse, to reach the Sweet 16, Oregon being now the 27th. Before that, they are 1-25 straight up in this round. 12 seeds or worse do not make it to the Elite Eight, only once in the modern era. So this is all based on one hand, I want to bet Oregon on the money line. On the other hand, a lot of history is being bucked. Fezzik's theory is the same as mine. These kind of seeds, if it's you're out physical, if it's emotionally, it's hard to keep going. The key question is going to be, is Oregon feel like they're, do they believe they're a 12 seed?
I don't think
As George Costanza used to say, it's not a lie if I believe it in my mind. So we're going to have to figure out what Oregon really believes. But Brad, just to be clear, you like, you've bet Oregon.
Oregon +8.5, like.
When we come back, two games ago, two games are picked by the Vegas pros.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We continue to look at the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, which gets going later on tonight. And the first game on tap, tipping off in about 20 minutes from now, it is Florida State and Gonzaga in Anaheim. And Gonzaga is a 7.5-point favorite.
Okay, first off, Brad, how good are these teams?
Both very good. Power ratings say the line is right. My power ratings difference in this game says 7.5.
All right, so now situation, trends, matchups.
Matchups. Let's talk about strength of schedule here. I'm worried about Gonzaga. Why? Gonzaga hasn't played a top 25 team since December 15th, 4 months ago. 4 months, these guys haven't seen a team with the athleticism, the length, and the depth that Florida State's going to throw at Gonzaga. And speaking of all that, that's what gave Gonzaga all these troubles last year when these two teams met in the Sweet 16 and Florida State easily crushed Gonzaga in that game. I lean with the Seminoles here, +7.5.
Now, that's fascinating because on one hand, they could say, well, wait a minute. If they haven't played anyone, how could the power ratings say the spread is right? But if you get a ton of margin against bad teams, it's a sign you're a really good team. But maybe you're not ready for a certain style of play. Now, my gut instinct is, if it's about playing on a different court in tennis or hoop in basketball, let me play a game or two. I'm going to be a lot more comfortable. What about first half here? If you do like Florida State, do you want to look first half, figuring if the big change, if the drastic change in physicality and talent that Gonzaga hasn't seen is a problem, won't it be a problem earlier in the game?
That's a good point, RJ. Yeah, I think a derivative first half bet is a probably more value than full game.
What do you think in the game, Fez?
Yeah, I like Gonzaga. You bring up a great point, RJ.
So you like Gonzaga, like you're betting against Brad's strong lean here.
I am, because I disagree with him on the fact that the revenge favors Florida State. I think the revenge strongly favors Gonzaga. This is the team that ended their season.
This is back to the old question of, does the amp go past 10? Do you really need revenge? You're in the Sweet 16. You're playing in front of the world. Who is going to be lackadaisical here?
Well, it's all about adjustments, and I've got a big coaching edge. So what's going to happen?
You're just going completely different for motivation.
No, Leonard Hamilton won this game by 15 last year. He's likely to do the same things. I'm going to count on Mark Few to make the right adjustments.
But that isn't
here.
About motivation.
All right,
that's about one team being complacent and the other team adjusting.
It's about making the proper adjustments.
But you agree both teams are going to play
Absolutely.
Max effort.
Everyone's bringing max effort in these Sweet 16 games, yes.
Because I got to be honest with you. If one team wins by 15, I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe the other team makes some adjustments, but they better because they just got beat by 15. Wow. And they better make, what, 23 points of adjustments?
Yeah. Well, Gonzaga.
So what's the first half line? 3 or 3.5? Brad, well,
First half would be 4.
All right. Well, if you want to, let's bet this at 4 then. Just 100. Press the green button, baby. All right. So I have Florida State plus 4 in the first half. All right. Next game.
One game left to go. It's Texas Tech and it's Michigan, also in Anaheim in the West region. And Michigan is a 1.5 point favorite on pregame.com.
Power ratings say?
Michigan right around a 1.5 point favorite.
All right. What are the factors?
So you have the top two defenses in the entire country in this game with Texas Tech number 1, Michigan number 2. So to me, how are both teams' offenses adept to handling an elite style of defense? And to me, Michigan has the advantage. Two reasons. Number 1, Michigan's well more balanced than Texas Tech. Texas Tech has the best score on the floor in Jared Culver, but outside of him, not many options. Michigan has 6 guys that average 9 points per game or better. And on top of that, Texas Tech loves to get in your face. Their attacking style of defense. Who has the fewest turnovers in the entire country? Who protects the ball better than Michigan? No one. Michigan has the fewest turnover rate of any team in college basketball. More balance, don't make mistakes. I lean Michigan.
Now, you were down on Michigan entering the tournament. The theory was they had 3 tough games and there wasn't a ton of rest. What's caused it? Now that they got through that challenge, is it they've convinced you or what?
They got a key player back, Charles Matthews, who's a 6'6 guard who was injured for that last 5-6 games of the regular season. With him back, they're a little bit more deep than what I thought.
Okay. Fez, 5 seconds. Any thoughts on this?
I like Texas Tech. Incredibly performance against Buffalo.
You like it. So this should be a bet. Press the button. Another bet. I mean, this is just betting action.
If you missed any of today's preview of tonight's Sweet 16 matchups, go check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.